We're sorry to inform you your request for a second loan has been refused. And the board of directors up in the city has instructed us to take the farm from you. We understand your problems and wish that we could help you, but the falling price of wheat's not our concern. And the cost of operation may well be rising, but the fact is that you lose more than you earn. This Saturday morning there will be an auction underneath a cold gray country sky. And while the rest of the nation is still sleeping, they'll be bidding America goodbye.
City covering all of North America via satellite, AM and FM stations all across the country and live and archived on the World Wide Web. This is Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks, your host here for the next 3 hours. Nice to have you with us as we once again document the crisis of our republic, the undermining of our national, state, and individual autonomy. And today's the 15th of October, 2011. It's going to be a cram-packed program, ladies and gentlemen. I have coming on here in just a few minutes, Kurt Haskell. He's going to be giving an update on this weird and evolving soap opera that we have unfolding before us, or have had unfold before us. There's been a very bizarre twist in this case. Now we learn that Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab, or Abdulmutallab, however you pronounce his name, this underwear bomber who set off his underwear bomb on Northwest Flight 253, December 2009, I believe it was. He's now pleaded guilty. And my hunch is that this is a part of the government operation to keep the evidence from coming out. Anyway, we're going to get Kurt Haskell's take on this whole thing, because this whole thing has been really, we were gearing up for a big trial. There was going to be a big trial. I guess Kurt had actually been called as a witness in this trial, and now the trial is not going to be taking place at all, apparently. So we're going to get an update from him. Also, later on in the program, we're going to be visiting, starting in the second hour, with Amanda Teagarden and Vicki Davis. Amanda, of course, has the Oklahomans for Sovereignty and Free Enterprise. And Amanda, Vicki, has channelingreality.com. She's been involved very heavily in Idaho, and both of them have been exposing this communist Chinese infiltration coming into the country, and a lot of other things. We might get into the issue of state rights and what have you, but there's a lot going on. We also have the war drums being beaten in a major way with regard to Iran this past week. And so maybe we'll talk about that a little bit as well as the program progresses. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and take the break for a few minutes, and we're going to get Kurt Haskell on the line and talk with him for a few minutes about what's been transpiring with this underwear bomber trial. And very bizarre, as this federal trial has been, it's over as quick as it started. It's just unbelievable. The whole thing is just over. Nothing's ever going to come out. But anyway, let's take the break. We'll be back. This is Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks. Don't go away.
Purkey purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-489-0192. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactive Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-489-0192. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-489-0192. That's 1-800-489-0192.
Did you know that the water you're drinking may contain over 2,000 different contaminants? From hormone-disrupting and mind-altering chemicals like fluoride in pharmaceuticals to newly emerging contaminants like radiation and other hybrid chemicals that water treatment plants don't screen out of our drinking water. PureEffectFilters.com has a breakthrough filter solution to effectively reduce the widest range of such contaminants, including the radiation coming from the Fukushima disaster. In addition, the filters will also revitalize your water by releasing natural minerals and electrolytes while increasing pH and antioxidant levels. Safeguard and revitalize your drinking water today with a breakthrough Pure Effect water filter system. Visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more or contact us today at 1-888-891-4821. That's 1-888-891-4821. Call now and take one of the most important steps you'll take to a healthier future.
All right, we're back. This is Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks. As we continue on here, let's get right into this. Kurt Haskell. Most of you folks, if you have been listening for any length of time, you know that Kurt is an attorney in Taylor, Michigan here with his wife, Lori. They're both attorneys. And they were on the flight from Amsterdam to Detroit back in 2009 around Christmas time. I believe it was Christmas Day, if I remember right, when it was Northwest Flight 253 when Umar Farouk Abdulmuttalib, the would-be terrorist underwear bomber, got on board, and they, prior to the incident, he and his wife witnessed sharp-dressed man aid Abdulmuttalib onto the flight, and they got on board, and he set off his underwear bomb. And since that time, of course, you know, you deal with all the emotional stress, the post-traumatic stress that they suffered with regard to this incident, almost dying. But all the strangeness of the event we've talked about many times in the show, and it looks like the trial has become, well, it's just as strange as the actual incident. Kurt Haskell is joining us again on Govern America. Kurt, thank you so much for being back with us.
Sure, glad to be back on.
You know, can you tell us, the last time you talked with us wasn't that long ago. We were gearing up for a long trial, and this was going to be something that we were going to have you come back again and again and give us updates about what was happening in the courtroom. But it looks like this thing has fizzled out just as quick as it started. And can you tell us what's happened in the last, two or three weeks?
Sure. Well, I was going down to watch jury selection, and I went down Tuesday last week. And for those that don't know, that involves the judge asking questions to potential jurors and then the prosecution and then the defense. And to see if they're biased or not, because if they have any kind of bias at all, then they would be kicked off and wouldn't be able to be on the jury.
Mm-hmm.
And there were two questions that kept popping up, which I thought were kind of interesting and kind of, giving an indication of where the trial was going to go. And the two questions that kept coming up were, do you think you'll be able to tell after seeing all the evidence whether the defendant actually possessed a bomb or an explosive device, was one. And the second one was, do you realize that sometimes the media isn't truthful? So I thought that was kind of telling. And those were repeated over and over again, not only by standby attorney Chambers, but also Judge Edmonds. At that hearing, Umar's the defendant, the underwear bomber, and he
right.
made some outbursts again, which were kind of out of character, in my opinion, because every time I had seen him, he's been really quiet, and pretty much emotionless.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a reporter from the Associated Press ask me, what do you think of these outbursts? And I told him, I said, look, I saw Umar before we boarded, and, I saw him when he lit his crotch on fire and it was burning on the plane, and I've seen him 5-6 times here watching pretrial hearings, and actually I said when he lit his fake bomb on fire on the plane,
uh-huh.
his crotch was burning. And, I've seen him several times here in court, and, he's always real quiet. This is totally out of character. And the Associated Press reporter, it was interesting in the quote that he put, out there from talking to me, he cut out that I saw Umar before boarding, and he cut out the word fake. He just said bomb.
Huh.
So it was an intentional misquote of me.
Sure.
But that's very, very telling of how the media has treated my story all along. They either don't report it or they twist the words around to mean something else. So I thought that was pretty telling. Anyway, it ended with Judge Edmonds saying, well, we're going to finish this up Thursday, and we'll pick the final jury at 1:30 on Thursday. And before I left the courtroom, I went up to one of standby attorneys.
If I could, just in the way of clarification, you mentioned outbursts, and I don't want to completely – can you describe a little bit what the outbursts were?
Yeah. I can't remember exactly word for word. It's on my blog. I took notes. If anyone wants the exact word for word quotes, look there. But it was something like, Anwar al-Awlaki is still alive.
Right.
And the U.S. is a cancer that needs to be wiped out or something like that.
Okay, so buying into the whole terrorist thing, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted you. You were about to say something. And
yeah, just. The outbursts were totally out of line, which is really strange. It was almost like it was a different person than I had seen all along. No, I'm not saying it was. It was the same person, but it was just that different than how he had been all along.
Right.
But before I left, I went up to standby attorney Chambers, assistant attorney, and I said, look, I haven't heard from you guys. Am I going to be testifying in this? What's going on? And he said, your status as a witness as of now is undetermined. I
mm-hmm.
said, well, okay. I thought that was kind of strange, too, since we're only a couple days from the trial. But whatever. I said, all right, I'll see you guys on Thursday. Judge Edmonds said, well, finish this Thursday at 1:30. So on Thursday, I was making plans to go back and watch it. They were continuing in the morning Thursday, but I couldn't make it until 1:30, which was when the final jury was to be picked. I was at a hearing of my own for my law firm, and I got a text from my brother, and it said, I hear you're testifying at the underwear bomber trial. And that obviously was kind of shocking to me.
Sure, sure.
Because, 2 days earlier, my status was undetermined, and I didn't know where he's getting this from. So when I got out of court, I gave him a call, and I said, hey, what's going on? And he said, oh, I just heard here on the radio in Florida, I guess it was already national news, you're testifying for the underwear bomber.
Wow.
I said, wow. Okay. So I headed over to federal court to watch final jury selection, and I ran into Chambers outside. I said, hey, you know, what's going on here? And he said, Gumar told Judge Edmonds this morning that he's going to call you as a witness, and he's going to call you as his only witness. So, you know, another big shocker to me. Not only would I be a witness, I'd be his only witness. So,
okay, so this, let's get this straight here now. Again, Umar is the terrorist, the guy who set off the underwear bomb. He's the underwear bomber. And he's going to call somebody who he tried to kill on the plane to testify in his defense?
Yeah, isn't that ironic how, you know, he tried to kill me, and then not only would I be a witness, I'd be the only one. So, you know, essentially I would have his life in my hands, even though he tried to kill me. It's just a very ironic twist. I don't know that that's ever happened in any trial where, you know,
not that I'm aware of,
potential murder testifies on behalf of the defendant. So very, very strange. Anyway, yeah, I was willing to go testify, of course, because, you know, what I've been saying all along, this was entrapment.
Right.
Right. So, you know, I spent the weekend, this was a Thursday, and the trial was going to start Tuesday. So, you know, I spent the weekend thinking about it, really thinking that, you know, maybe my life is in danger here. Kind of worried
about
it.
Yeah, that's probably what I would be thinking.
Yeah, obviously, you know, I was the only witness, so it wouldn't be too difficult to make the problem go away. So I was actually thinking about hiring a full-time bodyguard until I testified. I was going to be testifying last after the prosecution went, so it still would have been about a month until I would testify. Lori and I both went down to the trial on Tuesday, the start of it, and before it even started, Judge Edmonds told me I had to leave. All witnesses had to leave, so she told me I had to go, but Lori could stay if she didn't talk to me about anything that went on. So that was going to make for an interesting month-long trial if she couldn't talk to me about anything. But
yeah.
Anyway, I had to go. She stayed, and they took prosecution did their opening arguments, and I think there was one witness that went on the stand, and everybody came back. Well, interestingly enough, in the opening statement, though, the prosecution said, you know, we recovered 72 grams of PETN. PETN was the explosive that Umar had.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, but we estimate there were 200 grams, you know, and we didn't recover the rest, which I thought was kind of interesting, again, because, you know, again, I've said all along that the government gave him a bomb that couldn't have exploded. So here we are with the prosecution overestimating the amount of the explosive already in the opening statement. So, again, very telling, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And then the very next day, the only one witness was called that day, who was the passenger that sat right by Umar that, you know, verified some of the things he did on the plane. But the very next day, Umar pled guilty to all 8 counts. Which carries with it a mandatory life sentence. So, you know, it was very telling to me, you know, just a couple days after he announces I'm going to be the only witness, he makes a plea deal. And this is unheard of, that you plea to a life sentence. Why would you do that? It makes no sense at all. You know, a plea bargain, usually there's some give and take on both sides. So I have to believe here, there's more to this plea deal that we don't know about.
Okay, let's take a break here, Kurt. And when we come back, I want to try to piece this together and see if we can come to some sort of possible conclusion as to why this happened. Because there were some things that were supposed to be introduced, some evidence that they ruled would not be allowed. And then that seems to be, according to what I read that Lori wrote this morning, I was reading some of this, and it looks like they wanted to keep that evidence out. Stay with us, folks. We'll be back.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
All right, we're back. This is Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks. As we continue on here, talking with Kurt Haskell of the Haskell Law Firm in Taylor, and also a victim or would-be victim on the flight of Northwest Flight 253 from Amsterdam to Detroit when Umar Farouk Abdulmuttalib set off his underwear bomb. And we're talking about what was or would have been the trial of Umar. And, Kurt, before the break, I was telling you a little bit about maybe my theory in some of this stuff. Your wife, Lori, indicated on your blog, her blog, which, by the way, you listeners, if you would like to read this, I encourage you to do so. It's Haskell Family, Haskell spelled with two L's, haskellfamily.blogspot.com. And in her latest write-up on this whole thing, she was in the courtroom. She said that you had just been kicked out because you had the potential of being a witness, as you indicated before the break. And there were a number of pretrial motions, a couple of them, and one was to exclude an exhibit, which was a picture of Umar's genital area and his thigh of his burns. And the other was to exclude the prosecution from describing the device Umar had as a bomb or explosive. And both motions were denied, indicating that this would in fact be, if the trial proceeded, it would be introduced as evidence. Now, she says after this, there was a sidebar, and a really long meeting was held in a jury room between Chambers and Umar, and I guess that is when it looks like, from what I'm reading here, that was when the turning point happened. So it's almost like they, either the prosecution, whoever's steering this trial, and I do think somebody is pulling strings behind the scenes, somebody didn't want that evidence introduced into this trial because it would be somehow damning to the government's official story. Am I reading too much into this?
I think. I don't think that ties into the discussion. I think that discussion was just because it was the start of the trial. I don't think it had to do with the pretrial motions.
Okay.
So I think the discussion was a last-minute plea offer. Obviously, I'm just speculating, but if you have a meeting that long, and I think, I forget what Lori said, I wasn't there, but I think it was like an hour, close to an hour. If you have a meeting that long, there are some pretty intense discussions going along. This isn't just something really quick. And the meeting was between Umar and standby attorney Chambers. So I think, again, I think there's some sort of plea deal, at least part of it, we don't know about. Because if it was just, hey, you're going to plead guilty to all these charges and go to prison for life, you know, it wouldn't require a long meeting. Not only that, but the deal would have been turned down multiple times already in the past 22 months.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Umar gains nothing from that deal. So why would he make that deal? So, you know, I think there's something else to this deal that we're not being told. I don't know what exactly. Maybe he's going to serve the sentence in Africa or something, or, you know, maybe they're going to ship him off to Guantanamo Bay and be released and not tell us or something like that. I don't know. But, again, I think the one pretrial motion, again, is very telling. You have Chambers here arguing the device should not be referred to as an explosive device. So what do you read out of that pretrial motion? It wasn't an explosive device. You know, that's what you get out of it, because otherwise, you know, you could call it that. But he did lose that request, but you can see where the trial was going already, which ties exactly into what I've been saying all along, you know, that if this was some big elaborate plot by Al-Qaeda, where Umar traveled between several countries and had this bomb sewn in his underwear and flies, you know, from Africa to Europe to the United States, well, you're obviously going to make sure the bomb works, that it mm-hmm. really is an explosive, not,
right.
you know, not just something to set off, you know, not set off, but just something to make a scene, which is what it really was, a defective bomb, an intentionally defective bomb. And if you accept that theory that it wasn't a defective bomb, you know, along with what I saw and lots of other evidence, you see where this points directly, you know, at the U.S. government, who is known for for providing many terrorists with intentionally defective bombs. You know, it's what they do.
Right.
So you can see where all this was going very early on. I think it was also telling, too, when Umar took his plea deal and the prosecutors asked him to admit that he had an explosive device, and he didn't say yes. What he said was, if you say so. So I thought that was pretty interesting, too. You know, again, he didn't admit to having an explosive device. He was just saying, you know, if that's what you call it, okay.
Yeah.
And he made this, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Also, when he made the plea deal in open court, he made this really long statement, and you can find it word for word on the internet, but to me it just doesn't seem like he put the statement together.
Hold it right there. Let's take the bottom of the hour break. We'll have a longer segment straight ahead. We'll keep you as long as we need to, and stay with us, folks. Bottom of the hour break. We'll continue with Kurt Haskell here on Govern America.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Extend your life.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org for our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy. We urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Robert America, Kurt Haskell is here. Kurt, before the break, you were saying that there was a long statement. You were getting ready to talk about a long statement that Umar was making or going to make that you said didn't sound like he had prepared it.
Yeah, if you look at the state, he had a pre-prepared statement, you know, one he wrote out before getting there that day. And if you can read it on the internet, you know, it's pretty long. But to me, it just does not seem like he wrote it. I would liken it to, you know, a grade school kid plagiarizing an article, you know, off the internet, turning it in as homework, where the teacher can clearly see that, you know, this person didn't write what it was. And that's what I would compare it to. It seems like it would be the exact statement that someone in the U.S. government would want him to write, where they could say, look, you know, here's the crazy terrorist and, you know, trump up the war on terror even more. Look at this statement. You know, very inflammatory. But I'm sure, you know, if you look at it, if your listeners do, you just say, this is really, really strange. Well, I take that back because, I've witnessed Umar in court many times, so maybe your listeners wouldn't quite make that connection, but me having witnessed him many times in court, it just seems totally out of character and not even in words that he would use to write it. So, again, something just very strange is going on there.
It's much more advanced as far as his intellectual capacity, from your observing him, he would not have the intellectual capacity to do that. Is that fair
to
say?
No, not exactly. He's actually a pretty smart guy.
Okay.
It just doesn't seem like the content is content that he would admit to.
Okay.
It's more along those lines that, you know, this is like, it's like the perfect statement that the U.S. government would want him to make. You know, it's, I don't know how else to explain it, but it's not really in words that he would use or statements that he would say.
Maybe that...
I guess that's the way to explain it.
Maybe that it wasn't in his own best interest to make these statements?
Well, they're very inflammatory statements. So, mm-hmm. it would be exactly how, you know, the prosecution would want the statement to be.
Mm-hmm.
It was very strange. Like, almost that, like, they wrote it, and him reading it was part of this plea deal, that he has to read the statement. You know, something very weird is going on with this plea deal.
So it seems very, to be following
very,
you.
Very, very strange.
It almost sounds like a script.
Yes.
The script was written. He was following the script.
Yeah. I think, again, tying this into the plea deal, which you don't plead guilty to a life sentence, you know, and then you have the statement on top of it, I think, you know, the prosecution said, you're going to plead guilty, you're going to read the statement, and then we're going to do X, whatever X is, I don't know. And I don't think we're going to ever know. But
oh,
I think that's what happened here.
So my guess is he's going to be taken back to Yemen or some other place of the world. He's going to disappear from the map, and we're never going to hear from him again.
I think so, yeah. They may not ever say that. You know, they may say he's going to go wherever, Guantanamo Bay or wherever they're going to say he's going, but then he'll be released, in my opinion.
You know, you're talking about things that he would say, and you said he's a fairly bright guy. If he's really putting on his own trial to try to defend himself in his own best interest, entering the courtroom and yelling things like Anwar is alive, you know, and anti-U.S. statements, certainly wouldn't be in his best interest to influence the jury in favor of him, you know.
Right.
I mean, that in and of itself seems to be very... almost like theatrical, I guess, would be the word.
That, too. You're right, although the jury wasn't in the courtroom when he made those statements.
Oh, okay.
You're absolutely right. And he did it. He never did it, you know, in all the pretrial hearings until, you know, like 2 weeks ago. He did it twice, two different hearings. But, it was like his character totally changed. So I'm wondering, you're right, if this was part of a script or something. It was just very, very odd. You know, I can't say exactly, but it doesn't smell right. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it better than that.
How does it feel to be in the center of a media circus like this with all of this going around you? One of the most important events, I think, in history. Certainly, this was used by the government, by the Department of Homeland Security and other private interests. You know, of course, Michael Chertoff. We talked about the Chertoff group and how he has a financial stake in the naked body scanners that they immediately deployed at the airports following this event. So it's obviously to me, it's a Hegelian event, meaning that they created the problem, set this thing off, and used this to bring about their own predetermined outcome. So there's profiteering going on. There's an acceleration of all this police state nonsense at the airport and what have you, but you're right at the center of this whole thing, you and your wife, and, you know, prior to this point, I mean, obviously you're attorneys, you get up in court, but you have your own private life, you're largely private people, but you were thrust into the spotlight nationally by this event, and what's next for Kurt and Lori?
Well, you're right. It's been really, really strange with the media because, you know, we're people that don't like that at all, really. We actually moved our home away from our office. We moved to the next county over because we were becoming too well-known around the area where our office was. So you could see, you know, what kind of people we are. We like to shy away from that sort of thing. And when we go out, we don't really like that, you know, like to be well known. So that, you know, that's kind of an example of how we were before this. And it's been really strange. It's almost like our lives are a made-for-TV movie or something that you see on, you know, you see on Lifetime TV.
Mm-hmm.
It's been very, very odd, you know, to go through this. And all we wanted at the start was to help catch an accomplice, you know, to help catch the accomplice that I witnessed, help Umar get on the plane without a passport. That's all we wanted at the start. And it's only because the government continues to hide their involvement in this that this has become such a big deal. You know, if they would have, well, I guess not. If they would have admitted what they did, it would be an even bigger deal.
Mm-hmm.
But that, you know, that's the only reason we've been talking to the media at all, is because they continue to cover up what they've done, which
you know very well.
For the first time, what I've been saying for many months is that the government gave Umar an intentionally defective bomb and escorted him around security and put him on the plane intentionally to stage a false terrorist attack. And that's what I've been saying for months, and I think I have the evidence to back it up now. So, been very, very odd to go through this whole experience. And what's up next? We're actually going to be filing a civil lawsuit, and I wanted to wait to see how the criminal trial played out, because if there was, you know, indications that what I was saying was true and this was, would have become a well-known fact, I probably wouldn't have filed the civil case. I was, you know, just waiting to see how this would play out. My main goal with the civil case is to get more evidence to prove to everyone that what my theory is correct. That's my main goal, not to get money from it, but since that didn't happen, I'm going to be filing a civil lawsuit probably definitely by Christmas and hopefully sooner. And I'm actually starting on writing up the paperwork for that today, although I probably won't finish it today. So, you know, we'll see where that goes. I have to sue individual defendants, not the government itself. So I have to name various department heads, and I'm going to start with Janet Napolitano. She'll be one of the defendants, and I'll have to come up, you know, with other ones to see who I think was involved. Probably Leon Panetta, I think is his name, head of FBI,
mm-hmm.
and whoever else I can determine was involved with this. So we'll see where it goes.
All right, and you'll come back with, and update us on what you find, if you find anything, any developments?
Sure, sure. And I may actually be filing a motion and setting it for the sentencing hearing. Sentencing is in January. I may file a motion to have all the evidence that was turned over to Anthony Chambers turned over to me, because there's still a protection order issued by Judge Edmonds, which does not allow for any of the attorneys involved in the case to share the evidence with anyone else. So I may file a request and have it heard at that hearing to lift that and have the evidence turned over to me. That's kind of what I'm leaning to right now. I think that would be a good place to start my civil case.
I'm guessing that you will not be able to talk to Chambers because of attorney-client confidentiality.
No, because he's not the attorney. He's only standby.
Oh, okay.
That's why I think this would be a good place to start. There's no protection for anything Chambers knows. He wasn't the official attorney.
Do you think
no attorney-client privilege there.
Oh, okay. So you have talked to him in the past, briefly, I guess?
Yeah, several times.
So you've had a chance to feel him out.
Mm-hmm.
What are your impressions? I know you probably can't say a whole lot because you're both are attorneys and this is a professional environment, so I don't know if you can even answer that question.
Sure. Yeah, I have nothing negative to say about Mr. Chambers at all. I was actually quite impressed with him. I thought he did a good job with, you know, the mess of the case that he was involved in, especially only having limited duties because he was standby attorney. So
mm-hmm.
I thought he did a good job. I thought he was honest all along. I don't think he was any part of this cover-up at all, at least as far as I can tell to this point. and you could tell by how he was the content of some of the pretrial hearings and you know what went on in the very brief trial that he was going to expose this at least as you know, an incident where Umar didn't have an explosive device, where he didn't have a bomb. So, you know, and like I said a few minutes ago, there are obvious conclusions that can be drawn from that because Al-Qaeda wouldn't go through all this trouble and give someone a defective bomb.
Exactly.
So, you know, I think Chambers is on the up and up. But, you know, who knows, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I don't think so.
Well, I think it's going to be very interesting. I think it's going to be very interesting to find out what exactly was discussed in that sidebar with Umar shortly before he decided to plead guilty, and maybe you could get the information from Chambers as to exactly what his reasoning was for pleading guilty on all eight counts.
I'm going to try. I don't know if he'll be willing to tell me, but I'm going to try. You know, I'm going to try and lift the protective order, and then I'm going to call Chambers in on a deposition and question him for a few hours. So we'll see what kind of information I can get out of that.
You guys, you and Lori still suffer at all the post-traumatic stress from the incident?
Yes, but it's pretty limited at this point. It's been almost 2 years now, but something set it off, like Lori telling me she was having, you know, flashbacks when she was sitting in court for the first day of the trial because they kept playing, like, cockpit recordings from the pilot saying, you know, we're doing an emergency landing and someone set off a bomb, and you can hear people screaming in the taped account. So, you know, things like that set it off where, you know, when we start thinking about the incident again, me too, same thing with me too, when you actually start, you know, reliving each little part of it, you know, it has an effect on you. So not necessarily things like we've been talking about today, but when we go back and talk about very specific things that were going on, that kind of sets it off. So
yeah, it kind of rehashes some of those old memories.
Exactly. Now, early on, it was pretty bad. I would say Lori and I hardly slept at all for several months after this. We had nightmares every night. So it was really bad early on, but now not too much anymore, just a little bit.
Well, I appreciate very much you being with us today, following up on this whole thing. I know you have a very important stake in the whole thing. And I guess this is not over. And for you, it will really never be over because you have the memories and everything, but it'll be interesting to see what unfolds in the coming days, and I appreciate it. Kurt, is there anything else you wanted to tell the audience?
No, just anyone that's still skeptical, go back and read all my blog posts. And the best way to be fully informed about it is go back to Christmas Day 09 and read forward. I probably have 20 or 30 blog posts that are, some of them are very, very detailed with supporting evidence. So go back and take a look at those.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And again, folks, I encourage you to go to their blog, HaskellFamily.blogspot.com. We have it up on our website at GovernAmerica.com right now. That's HaskellFamily.blogspot.com. Kurt Haskell, thank you so much for being with us.
No problem. Glad to be on again.
All right. And if anything else develops and you learn of anything else, please give me a call. We'll put you right back on again.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks so much, and God bless. Kurt Haskell, ladies and gentlemen, very tragic circumstance. Could have been a lot more tragic if the bomb had went off, if it had been a real bomb, something that was designed to do more damage. But we know with all these events going on around the world that terrorism is created on a routine basis, and this is a couple that have learned this the hard way, certainly having their own law practice and living their life and just trying to be ordinary Americans, and yet here they are, nearly killed, terrified out of their minds, suffering a near-death experience, literally, by this would-be terrorist, this underwear bomber, Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab. And so anyway, folks, we have similar type of situations going on all over the place. We have the Christmas Day, I believe it was last year, Christmas tree lighting ceremony bomber or would-be bomber in Portland, which the FBI took by the hand, walked them through the whole thing. We talked about this a lot in the past. That was another incident which they say they thwarted. And now we got the demonization of Iran being built up. This alleged terrorist plot going on to start a war in Iran, to issue more sanctions against Iran. I want to talk about this briefly when we come back from the break, because this is just another example of the U.S. government engaging in shadow government operations to bring about some sort of anti-terrorist war. Stay with us. Govern America continues here in just a moment.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Welcome back to the broadcast, Govern America. Before the break, I was talking about how the U.S. government now is saying that they have disrupted an Iranian plot to kill the Saudi Arabia ambassador in Washington. And, ladies and gentlemen, once again, this is just another example, and they've tied in the Mexican drug cartel, the Zetas, in this whole scheme. It's kind of interesting that we had the Fast and Furious program going on. We have Occupy Wall Street and Occupy nearly every city in America going on. We got all this chaos in various cities and places and a lot of distractions, a lot of problems at home. And so suddenly we have an escalation of the war on terror once again. But the interesting thing about this is this story is so outrageous that apparently even many experts who are even buy into most of the government propaganda and lies and deceptions are not even buying it themselves. Now, I want to share with you a little bit from a New York Times piece. In a few minutes, by the way, we're going to be bringing up Vicki Davis and Amanda Teagarden, and we're going to be talking about some other things. But I did want to touch upon this because this is important, ladies and gentlemen. We are about to be thrust into yet another war in the Middle East. We are about to be thrust into another situation where we are going to get bogged down permanently. We've got U.S. military in many, many countries. I mean, who can even know? It's probably 140 countries. I don't know. You know, we're all over the world. And we've got this perpetual, every theater in the war on terror is a perpetual theater. We're never leaving. We're never going to get out. And Iran is just another one of those countries that they've targeted for a regime change. And so they have to trump up some sort of a motive, of a reason, alleged reason why we have to do this. But the experts are not even buying the official story, these so-called experts. Now, the New York Times website says just 24 hours after American officials announced that they had disrupted an Iranian plot that sounded like a rejected Quentin Tarantino script centering on an Iranian-American used car salesman's failed attempt to hire a Mexican drug cartel to assassinate Saudi Arabian ambassador in Washington, a number of prominent American experts on Iran have suggested that Iran's government might not have been behind the scheme at all. Even before the experts spoke up, it was hard to escape suggestions that the plot was too good or too bad to be true. In a radio interview on Wednesday morning, this writer's colleague, David Singer, observed that the alleged plot, quote, sounds like a little bit B-movie clumsy, is what he said. On one day earlier, even as he described the plot as real and dangerous, Robert Mueller, FBI director, acknowledged that the government's criminal complaint laying out the case, quote, reads like the pages of a Hollywood script, unquote. Writing on his personal blog on Wednesday, Gary Sick, a scholar at Columbia University's Middle East Institute, who monitored Iran for the National Security Council during the Iranian Revolution 3 decades ago, took the implication that the plot might be at least partly fictional seriously. He says, I find this very hard to believe, Mr. Sick wrote. In fact, the plot, if true, and this is a quote from Mr. Sick, Middle East expert, he says, in fact, if this is true, it departs from all known Iranian policies and procedures. All right, I'm at the top of the hour. I'm going to continue this in the first segment of the next hour, and then we'll move on. Hopefully we'll have Vicki and Amanda come up after that. This is very important, ladies and gentlemen, because once again, creating in all Hegelian fashion, the crisis which will lead ultimately to, well, ultimately to World War III. Stay with us. This is Government America. Hour number two is straight ahead.